I felt to say first when we start this morning is getting to know God's voice in your mind, okay? And I know a lot of Christians ask about this, and I want to tell you there's no set formula. There is no set formula to God speaking to you necessarily. But I do want to say, and I think you've heard me say before, there are three voices that come into our minds, right? There's God's, there's ours, and worst of all, there's the enemy's. And let me tell you, the enemy gets too many plaudits in our mind. Sometimes he masquerades so well, people think it's God, and it's not, it's the enemy. Okay? And then we probably want to give God a bit of a nudge, don't we, to help him in some areas. So that bit that's ours. So three things in your mind. But for me, as a Christian now of 25 years, I get a feeling in my stomach, and God confirms it so many times. And I get to know, I think that's God speaking to me. And you will too. You will too. As you journey along, you get to know God's voice. The devil gets too much acclaim. I want to say he disguises himself as God. But we've got to get to know when God is speaking to us. If it was the enemy, let me tell you this. It might be fearful. It'd be deceptive. And you know what? It will not line up with Scripture. It won't. So you've got to get to know God's voice. I feel it in my stomach. But like, God's true voice speaking to us will always be in line with his words. You know, the Bible, the written word of God that stands the test of time. Let me tell you, there's nothing that we face today that you can't go back and find in the word. And God makes himself so clear through his word that when he speaks to us, it will always be in line with his word. Let me give you a couple of examples. I think I've shared this before, but I remember when we were at our big church, Esther and I were out up in Widnes, where her dad pastored a great church up there. And there was a lady in the church, as always happens, tends to be when there was an issue. She was a lady that had three quarters of the church, it probably wasn't, but a good proportion of the church was this one extended family that this lady was in. Cousins, husbands, aunties, uncles were all in the church. And Esther's mum, the pastor's wife, felt a word for this lady to say, "You have got an adulterous spirit. God's seen it. And before something starts, you've got to stop it now." Right? Where does that come from? You know when it's from God, because, listen, God is pro-Christian marriage. We know sometimes there's things that come along. And there's grace. But, you know, God's heart is the Christian marriage is sacred, yeah? So that was Esther's mum was thinking was in line with Scripture. Now, she daredn't say anything, because it's quite a big word to say, isn't it? "You all right, so just have a quick chat after the service?" "Yeah, no problem. Hi, Ron, how are you doing? You had a good week?" "Yeah, great week." "The life all right?" "Yeah, fine, thanks. By the way, God said, you've got an adulterous spirit. Stop now." "Bye." Exactly, bye. "Have a great Sunday lunch. Goodbye." It's not one you can sort of throw out in conversation. And she didn't say anything. Tragically, 3 months later, there was a weekend away in a caravan that became an affair, a marriage breakup, tragic. And obviously Esther's mum always regrets what, but it was in line with Scripture. God, I'm trying to say to you, when you hear from God in your mind, it will be in line with God's purposes, okay? One that I had, you remember I shared at Christmas? And I was a young Christian, I'd been back with the Lord 6 months, and I was a church in Manchester, and it was freezing cold. I bought myself this lovely new ski jacket. I used to like going skiing. And there was a lad that came in that was poor, and I really felt this little voice inside, felt it within. "Give him your coat." He looked really poor. He had this little light thing on. It was snowing outside. No. But I gave him my coat, because the scriptures say, feed the poor. Give somebody the shirt off your back. So I did. Walked home thinking, great, I'm cold now. But I had a good job and I was able to buy another one. But that Monday morning, I know I shared it at Christmas, but it's great the goodness of God when you're in line with his word. That Monday morning, I went to work. The big boss of the steel company I worked at came in this big coat. I'd never seen him, and it was full of duck hair. It was a really good coat. I said, "Oh, Malcolm, where did you get your jacket? I'd like to get myself one. I've just got rid of mine." And he said, "Oh, this shop in Manchester. So how much was it?" He said, £300. Now, back in 1993, whenever it was, I was like, I won't be getting one of them. And he said, "Do you want it?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "I don't really wear it. If you like it, you can have it." I went, no. He said, "Phil, you can have it. You're one of my good salesmen. It's yours." And I drove home that night. I thought, wow, God, you are so faithful. Yeah. So these journeys we go on with God, it's amazing. When God starts to speak to you, you get to hear his voice. I didn't give that coat away to get anything back. But God is kind. He loves us. But I'm saying you start to get to know God's voice. But there will always be what? In line with Scripture. You know what I mean? It's not going to be a word of fear or something here, but it's always going to be in line with Scripture. So actually, church, sometimes God may tell us things that make us a bit anxious, bit scared, and we were able to say, is that really you, God? You've got to know that voice from God. And you think, I know that voice, but it tells us something. And you're going to look at the circumstances and the facts, okay? Let's look at a scripture to back this up. There might be a health situation, a financial situation, there might be something that's coming along, and God said it's going to be okay, or this is going to happen, I'm going to pull you through, or that's going to happen. We're human. We get nervous, don't we? We start to question whether God's in that. But if you know God's voice and he's told you something quite clearly, let's look at this in the scriptures. If you've got your Bible, open it to Numbers 13. Numbers 13. Okay? Verse 2. It says, the Lord said to Moses, send men out to spy out the land in Canaan. Listen, this is God speaking, which I am going to give the people of Israel. We know God's not confused. He doesn't change his mind. We'll look at that later on. He says, I am going to give the people of Israel. Right. Drop down to verse 26. This is the report from the spies that have gone out, come back. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. Did I say that right? And then there they reported to them, to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. They came back with the fruit from the land. And then Moses gave this account. We went into the land to which you sent us. They gave to Moses this account. We went into land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. Verse 28. But the people who live there are powerful, and their cities are fortified and very large. Drop to verse 30. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. I've put in brackets. Why? Because God said so, didn't he? God said, we're going to go and take possession of the land. Maybe in your lives you've got circumstances going on. Maybe there's facts that you're trying to question. Can God do that? That's that human part of us. But Caleb's saying here, no, God said we will take the land. Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people, because they were all giants, the report came back, for they are stronger than we are. Never allow the facts in our lives, church, or the circumstances to trump when God has spoken. Yeah. If God has spoken to somebody in an area, and we truly know that it was God, don't question it. Don't question God in your lives. Like here, I'm telling you, there'll be situations that come along. We've seen it in our marriage, in our own individual lives. It looks like a mountain that you could never climb over, okay? But if God says he's going to pull you through, he'll pull you through. And there's something about journeying with God in our mind that's so precious and powerful. When you see the victory when God comes through, yeah, when you build history with God, church, it is the best thing ever. So don't fate in your mind. Don't let circumstances trump the truth when God has spoke. Guess what happened? They took the land. Yeah? They took the land because God said they would. But there was giants there. There was all sorts of stuff there, but they took the land. Right, let's look at our minds then this morning. I want to say initially, church, I don't feel mental health is something that I'm a specialist to talk about or feel qualified to talk about. I'm going to try my best this morning to dig into some stuff in our minds and bring it back to him. But don't throw any tomatoes at me if I get anything slightly wrong. I massively appreciate that there's situations that are huge in this life. And sometimes there's situations that are huge in our Christian life. I've experienced some that are huge. But I wouldn't say I'm a mental health specialist. But I know I've got a God who's faithful. I know a God who's been faithful to me. And church, I know he can be faithful to you. So I don't say these things lightly. I've never had a depression. But I've seen a dad that did. I've seen a wife that didn't quite have a depression, but Esther burnt out at our last church. She did too much. And I've seen where she couldn't sleep for 9 months, bless her. I've seen, as a human, we sometimes go through a trial that's tough, that can go into our mind. Do you know what I mean? I was, 15, and I came home from school just like you do, as a happy little 15, cheeky little Leeds United fan coming home. And there's my dad on the settee, crying his eyes out. I thought, yeah, dad's day has been worse than mine. All right, Dad. And my uncle was there. I thought, what's going on? And he'd just been doing too much, and he'd just burnt out, and he just cried his eyes out. Was off work for 2 months. So I know it's real. Look, I know it's real. Can I say this really gently, church, and I want you to hear my heart, but can I say this? In today's society of self-help and preservation, yeah, we do seem to have more mental health problems than ever, right? But I want us to live our lives with a sound mind, yeah? And I believe the only way to fully do that and conquer that is with Jesus. I really believe Jesus can even help us pull us out of depression. I'm not saying depression don't happen. I'm not saying there's not circumstances, I've told you that. But there are so many situations where people go to things in the world and self-help things. I want us as a church, I want us as a body of believers to go to him, yeah? So it's not being remiss to things that happen. It's in our mind, right? If situations come along and our mind is struggling, we go to Jesus. Will you receive my heart there? Because that's what I'm trying to say. Esther actually preached last week on headship. She started a new series on headship where Christ is the head of everything, isn't it? If Christ is the head of our mind, first and foremost, I tell you what, it's quite a great place to be, really. Because when we struggle, we think, well, Christ is the head. Where do I go? Like a little boy runs up to his dad when he's hurt his knee and sits on his knee. Dad, will you help me? That's where we've got to go. We've got to go to Jesus. Christ is the head. Esther said he's the head of our finance. He's the head of everything. Let me say this morning, church, it's not a weakness. It's not a weakness for you, especially us men that like to be. It's not a weakness for us to admit that Christ is the head of our lives and to submit to him. Sometimes as men, we don't want to submit to stuff, do we? We think, I'm the head of mine. And me, Tars, and you, Jane, and I'm the man. I tell you what, it takes a real man to get on his knees and cry out to him. It takes a real man to just put Jesus right at the centre of what we are. And you ladies, I'm just saying us men are particularly hopeless at sometimes admitting things. And in our minds, if we're struggling, go to Jesus, guys. Go to Jesus, especially in our minds. And I want to say this, in this world where I'm saying there's more situations happening than ever, there seems to be more mental health problems. I went to Mozambique, you know. I went to Mozambique on a mission. I'd had a business for 20 years and God had blessed the business. And I had a dear friend who was, he ran a charity. I'm going to talk later, he ran a charity out in Mozambique. And he said, Phil, thanks for the little gift you give us each year financially, but will you come? I said, I don't really want to go. Do you know, I went, it was the most mind-blowing thing I've ever done. And there was a little boy, the one thing that just spoke to me, there was a little boy that looked about 9 and he had this little rubbish car, a little plastic car, and it had 3 wheels, right? One of the wheels had fallen off. And I remember as a little boy laying on the floor, brumming my little car around this little car mat I had. This was before computers, kids, that's what you did. You used to have a little car mat and drive your car around the car mat for hours. It was great. And get your friend over to join you. But he laid on the floor with this little car and he was the happiest little boy ever. And this, you know, the toilet, sorry to be basic, was a hole in the corner of the garden, which was interesting. especially if you needed, yeah, it was interesting and a bit windy, you know, I've never had a breeze like that before, but these people were happy. I tell you what, they were happy. I went to this local church where they'd seen loads get saved and they were so happy. So in this world that we have that live in the West of seemingly everything, our true riches are in him, do you know what I mean? So let's cry out to Jesus first. But listen to this, if we're going to truly commit our minds to him, not this self-help thing that I spoke about, this preservation, this self-help, do you know what? It's countercultural to the world we live in. All your friends in the office, your friends will say that you're nuts. Go and do this self-help course. Go and do this. Go and do that. I'm not being remiss to anything. Hear my heart. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus at the centre of our minds. Our first cry must be Jesus. And I dare say I think there might be less mental health issues to a lot of Christians that haven't gone to Jesus first. I know they love Jesus, and I'm not being remiss to their situation. I'm not, because that would be cruel of me. I'm not. But I tell you what, if they went to him first, above other things, I think there'd be some more wins and some more victories in the church. I think the enemy is trying to rob his church of victory in Christ, that we can truly live in a victory in him, you know, above some help, self-help things that there is in the world. You know, we know a God who made this world. He's not confused. He's the King of Kings, and he can help us, church. If we're struggling in our mind, I want you to know first, go to Jesus. Listen to this. It's great, this. Numbers 23:19. This is from the New Living Bible, right? Numbers 23:19. So we're human, aren't we? We make mistakes. We can think some things and then next week change our mind and think something else and situations can come along. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not a man. I know when Jesus came to earth, he was a man, but he wore a a man's clothing. He was in a human body, but it said he was still fully God. So listen, God is not a man, so he does not lie. This is from the New Living. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Remember what I said before, when God spoke over your situation, when God spoke over your circumstances, has he ever failed to act? Get this at the end. This is from the New Living. Has he ever promised anything and not carried it through? You read it when you get home. New Living Translation. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? That's the God that we serve as a Christian this morning. That's the God of our minds. So that's not being remiss to world tactics. I'm saying if there's something going on, go first to the guy that split the Red Sea, as Matt sung this morning. That's your God. Right, I'll get into some quick points before time runs away. Last time I spoke on manage your heart, I spoke about, you remember, an ECG? So we did a CGG, give your heart, guard your heart. Do you remember? Well, I like doing stuff like that. It's great when you prepare a sermon. So I think I've got to have a few names or numbers in there. So I thought, well, we're on our mind. What can I do? We'll do the three M's this morning. So I just make this up when I'm preparing the preach. It's nothing Googled or anything like that. I just have fun with myself. I thought, right, I kind of knew what I wanted to say. What three M's can I get to work alongside that? So we've got this morning, memory. I like you to remember it when you go home as well. Memory, motivator, motivation, mobilization, mobilize. Okay, so memory, motivator, and mobilize. So number one, this, we're talking about our minds, remember, this church this morning, manage our mind. Memories, tough memories, things we go through, yeah? Famous passage, Isaiah 43. I'm gonna read it out to you. You're gonna know it so well, but just bear with me. Forget, this is verse 18, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Number 19, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? For I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. We all get excited, don't we, at verse 19. God's doing a new thing. And he does. And that scripture has been an anchor to so many believers over the years and a great promise from heaven. I believe that. But I think verse 18 gets sort of a bit kicked in the teeth and forgotten about. Listen to what it says, because we're also stuck on verse 19. Verse 18. Forget the former things. And I've written bold and highlighted on my page here. Do not dwell on the past. That's a word from heaven to your lives. When we're talking about managing our mind and memories in our minds, do not dwell on the past. Don't dwell on the past. Great passage, but everyone talks about the new and forgets to get to the new. You've got to get rid of the old sometimes. Yeah? Don't dwell on the past, church. Many mental health counsellors, which is good when they do this, if you sit down with sometimes, they will go back to a situation, right? And they will dig deep and dig deep to find there's always usually a root cause of something. So when somebody's struggling in the mind, a lot of psychiatrists, psychologists, I would get the expression wrong, mental health counsellors will say, they'll ask questions to dig, which is good. It's good, I'm not knocking what they do, but they get back to this root. Do you know what I mean? This root cause usually of something in the past. Well, our God here says, don't dwell in the past. Don't dwell on the past. If we can get through some situations there and then and get over some stuff between us and God, I believe some of this stuff that somebody might have to deal with 20 years later won't be there, because by the grace and victory of heaven, we've been able to deal with it here. One for me that I've shared with you before, just to share briefly again, you know, I took the vaccine and I got a vaccine injury called myocarditis that I'm still not over. I used to run a lot as a young man, and the lining of your heart gets basically a toxin from the vaccine. I didn't want to have the vaccine. Not that I was an anti-vaxxer, church. I just wasn't sure about it. I thought, it's a new thing going in. Have they fully tested it? Not sure. That's all I was. But my parents-in-law, my best friends, I went to a match at Leeds United. My best friends would sit behind me and his dad. When I said, I haven't had the vaccine yet, honestly, they went like this. They went, ooh. Do you remember that COVID season? They sort of recoiled from me. I thought, guys, I'm not the lurgy. But I had it because I felt this peer pressure to have it. A week later, I was in A&E with an absolute pain in my chest that I'm not fully through yet. The biggest thing for me, right, I was able to forgive my family. I couldn't forgive myself. I thought, you idiot. Why did you go and take that vaccine? You know you didn't want it. It was easy to blame others. I had to get over that stinky attitude as a Christian, right? I couldn't forgive myself. And I think God's saying to some of us this morning, I wanted to remind you of that story, because some of us have got to forgive ourselves for some things that have happened in your past. Because you know what Jesus has done? If you've gone to the cross and said, Jesus, will you forgive me? He has done, and he will do. So I've started praying and fasting. It's great having a godly wife. Men, if you've got a godly wife, cherish her. She said, Phil, you've got to pray and fast this out of you. The heart specialist has said, it'll heal itself eventually. It's got a bit better. It's not got fully right. When I go play football with Reuben, the lads at Bovey Baptist, we all get together, don't we? We have a footy game on a Monday night. The next couple of days, I'm in agony. My heart's killing. I'm like, Lord, it hasn't fully gone. So it's the running and pounding, shakes it up and down and still hurts. Esther said, prayer and fasting. So every Tuesday, I'm going to pray and fast until it's well. And I think there's some situations in our life. Do you know if God heals us straight away or God delivers us from straight away, there's a journey we go on with him that we miss out on. God can heal us straight away, and sometimes he does because it's right, he does. But I tell you what, church, sometimes we journey through situations, especially in here, where God loves so much about us, he wants to take us through that storm. If we just went like that and gone and over the top of it, we'd miss out on some glorious riches of history growing with God. That's what I'm going to do. I don't want to dwell in the past. I want to move on. And I want to say as well this morning, Pastor Mark said this in Exeter once, and it resounded with me. Some hurts we've got in the past in your mind, looking at memory of our mind here, church, some of them stay a wound for too long. And Mark gave this analogy. He said, a wound can become a scar. You're a nurse, Jill, you've seen that, haven't you? A wound eventually becomes a scar. And a scar eventually fades, doesn't it? And eventually starts to heal. Too many of us leave that wound as a wound. We leave it as a wound. We've got to let it heal over. We've got to let God heal us. Doesn't mean we ever forget that situation, does it? If you look at a scar, you still see it, don't you? We don't hurt anymore, does it? You know, as we journey this life with God, we will journey through situations where it becomes a scar. Don't hurt anymore. God's pulled us through. Great. So you don't look at it and think, oh, I remember that. Look at it and think, wow, my God is faithful. God pulled me through. And it starts to fade in time. So if we build history with God personally, what happens? When the future storm comes, you know exactly where to turn. You know exactly where to turn. If you've journeyed through memory, through painful memories, through these things like I've shared, you know exactly where to turn. As soon as that tough situation comes along, go to Jesus every time. That's who you're going to trust. Don't stay in the past. I want to say this really gently as well. I used to meet with a guy at our previous church, and I went out with him 5 or 6 times for a coffee, and the situation he was going through, we'd sort of prayed it through, and how can I say this gently? I don't think he enjoyed, but he dwelled in self-pity. But I want to say that lightly. Again, please don't throw tomatoes at me. But he was remaining in this self-pity of this situation. The situation wasn't particularly nice, but we'd come through it in the main. And I said, I'll call him John. He wasn't called John, but for the sake of the recording. I was like, John, come on. And I'd heard it 3 or 4 times, and that shepherd heart in me, I flung my arms around, I thought, we're all right, we're going to get through this. But as we looked at the journey of coming out of the storm, he didn't want to do really, the truth be known. Every time I met with him, he didn't want to come out of the storm. I'm not saying he enjoyed self-pity, because you probably would throw tomatoes at me if I said that. But he certainly dwelled there. And I'm not saying that's any of us this morning, but we can't stay in a place of self-pity. And you might say, Phil, you don't know what I've been through. It's all right for you to stand up and say that. I know. But we've all been through stuff. I've been through stuff. You don't know all my story either. But if we know a God who's faithful, and if we're going to live a life as a triumphant believer, right, we've got to get out of some storms. They've got to become a scar. We can't dwell in a place of self-pity. But I do say that gently. I do. I want to tell you I'm a pastor, not a counsellor. So sometimes people will meet me and I don't know exactly what to say, but I go to him. But we should all do that. Imagine if all of us did that in this room. Imagine if there's all of us, before you went to your pastor, you went to him. I've even seen situations in churches. A few people have popped from church to church to church, downloading some tough situations, hard situations to a pastor. Pastor stands and walks with them and helps them. But if they're dwelling in self-pity, eventually the pastor says, come on, what's God got next for you? Come on, and we're going to get out of this storm. Leave to the next church, download again. Leave, go to the next church, download again. You're not growing. You're not moving on. And it's not that that pastor's been remiss to you. He's saying, come on, God's got more for you. I've had a tough thing like you have, but God's got more. Come on, let's move on. Don't let that be us, church. Come on, let's go to Jesus first of all. The best advice will always be Jesus. Allow Jesus to heal you. So that's memory this morning. Don't dwell in the past. Okay, motivate, number two. Starts getting a bit more exciting now. What's our motivator? Jesus, 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 and always Jesus. Thinking of our mind this morning, listen to this. Philippians 2, verse 5. In your relationships with one another, listen to this, it's mega. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Wow, what a verse. Have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. How the heck is that possible, Phil? Well, it must be, because we were made in his image, remember? God so delights in us. We are made in his image. And in his lovely written word here, he says to us, have the same mindset as me. We're never going to be God. Don't miss him a heart. But I tell you what, the more we journey as a Christian, the more we can be like him. And the more we have his mindset. Yeah, what did we read earlier on? He's not confused. He don't change. He's not worried. Come on, ask God and pray to God to fill your mind with more of him. Romans 12, famous passage, but it's so relevant. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of what? Of your mind. Then, and only then, when you've been transformed, were you able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing and perfect will. New Living rocks it. Got to read it from two passages. Get this. New Living Bible. Don't copy the behaviour and customs. Remember we spoke before about the custom of this world and all these things you can go to. No, don't copy that. The Bible tells us here, I'm not saying being remiss to that, but Jesus is saying, you're a believer now. Don't copy that. Come to me. Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. Get that this morning, church. Transformed into a new person. By what? By changing the way you think. Crikey. As we think in our mind. Wow. Get that stuck up on your fridge this week from the New Living. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Great famous passage. But Jesus likes us to renew our mind. And I'll tell you this morning, I think it's a process. Doesn't happen overnight at salvation. Renewing of your mind is a process. As you journey through this Christian walk together, it's a process. Read the word. Slowly spot kick the old world out of your life. Get it out. Get rid of the old. Get rid of the old before you were saved. Get it out. Allow Christ in. But it's a process. Yeah? In here. He will change us. He will. He will change us if you allow him to. If you let God, he will change us. And actually, I've said this before, our desires, the more we become like Christ, the more we desires become his desires. How amazing is that? The more you become like him, there's several scriptures on that. I won't go down that line this morning, but there's several scriptures. The more that you delight in him, the more you become like him. Amazing is that? We're going to be with him in heaven one day. We sing this, one day we are going to be with him in heaven. How amazing. We can have the mindset of Christ. And the more we change to be like him in here, and in here, the more we can actually start to not only think like him, but get desires like him for his world, for that town out there that needs to know him. That'll become our desire too, because it's certainly God's desire. Are you with me? Don't hold stuff back. You know, don't say, right, God, I'm going to give you my mind. Grateful for what you said. I'm going to give you my heart. I'm going to give you my mind. I want more of you. But you're not having that bit. That bit I'm keeping to myself. Thanks very much, God. We're all right there. Don't need you in that department of my life. No, submit everything to God. That's what I'm saying. Give your all to Jesus. Esther, will you come up? Yeah. So when I was just chatting with Esther, a few things I was going to speak about this week. I'll let her tell you about the prayer hubs, but yeah, you go for it. This is just a practically look at Romans 12.
Yeah. So just to bring some practical, I'm going to literally a couple of minutes as time is ticking this morning, okay? Let me just hold this up. That Bible way down really, really quick. Okay? This is your weapon. This is your life. Okay? This is the word of God. And, you know, Joshua, it says, meditate day and night, and it will go well with you. Meditate day and night. So, as part of our discipleship journey, you know, we're told to renew our minds, but how do we do that on a practical, everyday level? And this conversation, really, that I'm going to give you a few points, and it's not, obviously, everything this morning, but this conversation was birthed. And it was just saying, we were talking to each other saying, how do we really help people renew their minds? Because we kept coming across Christians who were 10 years down the line, 15 years down the line, and were still kind of crumbling and not being resilient in their faith when the storms of life came. And we want a church that's going to be absolutely resilient, right? Like that house built on the rock, when storms of life come, we are able to stand strong and stand firm and not crumble at every bit of bad news and crumble at every situation. So here's a few things, okay? How do we renew our minds? So first of all, we have to read scripture. Every morning, every night, I read scripture, and I keep a little notebook by the side of my bed so that anything I read and I kind of really just jumps out to me, I write that thing down, okay? Do you want a little peek into what I've been writing down? Let me just do it really quickly. Okay, here's some of the stuff. The Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. I'm in Deuteronomy at the moment. And then here's another one. Jeremiah, I the Lord search the heart and examine the mind. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So here's some of the things that I've been reading through. I jot them down. These are the ones with roots and established in love, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Amazing. So what I've done then, I've been writing them down so I can approach God in freedom and confidence when I'm having those days. All right, every day I am, from morning to evening, I'm reading the Word of God, but I'm also going over the bits that have really stood out, those little bite-sized snippets. And I'm meditating on them throughout the day. Wow, you've given me all power over the enemy. I can have boldness and confidence as I approach God. That if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, he answers me. Can you see already? We're like, because let me tell you, the enemy will come. He will try and come in and almost discourage you, send lies your way. But if we are meditating, let me tell you, if we're not meditating, and if we are not bringing back to memory every single day, we're going to quickly collapse. We will collapse like that house that was built on the sand. And so every single day I'm doing that. And so what you do then, and this is one of Cindy's ideas, and I loved what she said. I said, how are we going to test whether we're really growing, Cindy? And she said this. She said, after 2 months, she said, there's always fruit from God's word. There's always fruit. If you are really living out the scriptures in your life and you're standing upon them and you're meditating on them, there will be fruit. So in a couple of months of doing that, go back. You know, if it's a worry or a fear that you've been going through and you've taken those scriptures and you're meditating on those scriptures that say, do not be fearful, do not be dismayed, be courageous, for I am with you. We are meditating on those. We will notice a difference in our lives. Suddenly, when the lie comes, we'll be able to get that arrow and just go, oh, the Lord said, do not be afraid. And suddenly you find yourself with this courage that comes over you because you've been meditating on the word of God. You know, we don't do that enough. We may read that scripture today and just go, oh yeah, renew my mind. But we don't do anything with it. We're not putting it into practice. We're not actually getting the scripture and saying, Lord, for the next couple of months, I'm staying on that scripture. I'm going to learn it off my heart. I'm going to keep it going in the forefront of my mind every single day until I'm reaping the fruit of those promises. and your word over me. I hope that's been, I know it's been a bite size, but I hope that's been really helpful for us today.
Thank you, Esther. Just conscious of time, so I'm just going to rush through the last point then. So number three, mobilise. If we're going to push on with our lives in our mind, church, we've got to trust him to help us, for us to be of sound mind. We've got a couple of little things, a couple of points here. Daily commit our lives to him, making Jesus the centre of all we do and all we say in here. In those big situations, scars, wounds, I want to say this sometimes. Sometimes a fresh start is healthy. Sometimes you've got to get out of a toxic situation. For us to move on to have a sound mind, sometimes we've got to move out of a situation. One quick one for me was, after being 23 on that dance floor situation in Leeds, 2 years, wanted to meet a girl, wanted to get married, it hadn't happened yet. 2 years walking with God, young Christian, all excited. Met a non-Christian on holiday, got in a relationship with a non-Christian. A year later, I'd given him my heart. I finished with her, because I thought, you don't, she didn't want God. She didn't want to come to church. She went to church and said, Phil, it's not for me. And we were in love, but she said, it's not for me. So I split up with her, missed her like mad. 2 weeks later, got back with her. Then she split up with me. If anyone's had that, it kills. For 6 months to a year, I was heartbroken. But I knew I didn't want a relationship outside of a Christian marriage one day, but it was certainly hard. Do you know what I did? I moved to a friend over in Manchester who was a great Christian friend that I knew near where I worked at that time. I worked at a big steel company in Manchester. I had scriptures all over the wall. And he was in a similar place. He was getting walking with God strongly. He's the guy that run this charity over in Mozambique who I went with. And we said, let's have a year of not thinking about a girlfriend. We were 25, he was maybe 30. And we had these scriptures on the wall. I can remember them now. How can a young man keep his way pure? Psalm 119, by living according to your word. All these scriptures I had in my little bedroom, this room I shared with him. It was the best year ever I had with God. So I think sometimes, church, the situations, you need to physically get yourself out of it. How do we mobilize? You need to take yourself out of a toxic situation. That's not just a relationship, I mean. It can be all sorts of things. Financial irregularity. There's some situations where you're thinking, I am not honouring God here. I want a sound mind in him. I want to move on. Move on, yeah? Quick discipline. Little thing to remember here on a little Sunday afternoon. Discipline feeds desire. Let me explain what that means. If you want to go running in the morning, when I used to go running, last thing I want to do is put my trainers on, go and have a run. I think, oh, I could just sleep in for another 10, 20 minutes. Get your trainers on. Discipline in here. Go out and do it. You do it enough, the desire comes to keep going. Because you start losing weight, you start feeling good. Discipline feeds desire. Then eventually, the desire feeds the discipline to honour God in our lives. That's just running. You want to honour God? Discipline yourself in some areas. Commit daily to him. Tell you what, say the Lord's Prayer every morning. Great thing to do. You know, Proverbs 23 links the heart to the mind. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart. A lot of things come out of in here. Right, we spoke about the heart, didn't we, how powerful it is. But in here, we don't always have to be governed by some heart's desires. We can discipline ourselves in an area. Just admit briefly, I had never struggled looking at lustful things on a screen as a man until about 15 years ago when we had young children. I went to a men's retreat, a Christian men's retreat, and all they spoke about was pornography and what men struggled with. I thought, what are they all on about? And I started to get a bit of a foothold that I'm a bit embarrassed about. And I shared with some friends and we journeyed for a bit, and I had a friend up in the church up north that I used to speak with, and I thought, I want this out of my life. And it never became a stronghold. There's something about accountability, men and ladies, when you share things with us, when you journey things, don't let the devil rob you of your mind. So before it had a stronghold on me, it started as a foothold. We put a PIN number in my phone so I couldn't look at anything. And I've got it on my new phone now. If you put something in that phone, you're not seeing anything. I don't even know what the password is and I don't want to do. So we can discipline ourselves to honour him, yeah? And then the desire comes for more of him. Are you getting me? Discipline feeds desires. 1 Peter 1:13, it says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. The new living. Get this one, you'll love this. Right? Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Nice one. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. Sorry, that's actually the New King James Version. you check in it later. The New King James Version, but I loved it said that. Gird up the loins of your mind. What the heck does that mean, Phil? Do you know what I reckon it means? Get the junk of this world out of your mind. Get it out. Get the junk of this world out of your mind. You want to manage your mind? Get some junk out of there. Set passwords on your, whatever you struggle with, whatever you're going through. Gird up the loins of your mind. Get that junk out of your mind. Each day, try and wake up. Take one day at a time. Think of God honouring things in your day. Think of God honouring things. Start to fill your mind with Him. Start to fill your mind with Him, church. Maybe send yourself a text or an email each day at the start of a day with a great passage that you see all day on your phone. Colossians 3 verse 2 says this, set your mind on things above, not on what? Earthly things. Yeah, correct, not on earthly things. So when do we set our minds? How about the start of each day? Say the Lord's Prayer driving to work. Say, I'm not going to gossip today. I'm not going to look at things shouldn't be looking at today. Lord, will you help me fill my mind with more of you as I start this day? So this is how good prayer hubs are doing, by the way. A little plug for prayer hubs, and it brings us together as a body. So Esther shared with me what Cindy had said to her. I went, you what? You and Cindy were talking about Romans 12. I'm speaking about that on Sunday. Isn't it funny how God brings things together? Well, there's another one. Me and Matt have a conversation, as we often do. Sorry. And we're talking about a set list for Sunday. And it was maybe Tuesday or Wednesday. And I said to Matt, I'd like to finish with Great is Thy Faithfulness. And Matt's so lovely, said, okay. But I could hear down the phone, I thought, he ain't feeling that. He's not. he's a great worship leader, but nah, he's not feeling that. He went, is there one maybe a bit more uplifting, Phil, or something? I've thought of another one. I said, I'd love to finish. Let's just pause it. I thought, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Thursday morning, God woke me up at 3 a.m, and I'm going to read some of this from you here. And he reminded me of some of the lyrics in this song as we speak about our mind, right? And I rang Matt. I rang Matt and I left a little message Thursday morning. I said, Matt, God woke me up at 3 o'clock. Please, can we sing Great is Thy Faithfulness at the end of the service? Do you know what he said? He'd been in a prayer hub. I won't mention his name, but one of the guys in his prayer hub had said to him, as they were praying, he said, oh, I just feel that God's great faithfulness over our lives is just so great. We just want more of Him. And Matt was like, whoa. Phil wants to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. So he got his yes from heaven, as we did, as Cindy was talking there. So these prayer hubs are powerful. It's uniting us as a body. So we've got this real yes to sing this song. So we're going to sing this great hymn at the end. Not because I get a kick out of singing hymns at the moment, which I do. I think they're great. But as we think about our mind, I just want to read some of the lyrics in this mind. Maybe posture your heart to heaven now. Maybe open your arms, shut your eyes. Just before we sing this great song, as we thought about managing our mind this morning, listen to this. Great is Thy, not yours, great is Thy faithfulness, O God my Father. Not Phil's, not John's, not Pete's. Great is Thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. What did we say before? God doesn't change His mind. Remember in Numbers 23:19? Listen to this. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. God never changes, but His compassion for you will never fail. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. God never changes, or He never quivers. Great is Thy faithfulness. A couple more. Morning by morning, every day, get up and put God first in your mind. New mercies I see. All you've ever needed, church, all I hath needed, Thy hand has provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And then for all of us this morning, all of us are sinners. A pardon for sin, and what? A peace that endureth. What an absolute joy for the believer to know the peace of their Lord and Saviour, as Alice declared so lovely. She leapt out of a chair and gave that babe. She thought, Jesus, I want you as the centre of my heart once again. What peace that she got that day. That's for all of us, church. It says, a pardon for sin, and a peace that what? Endureth forever. For Thine own dear presence, to cheer and to guide, is with us through it all. How? Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Come on, let's worship a King who's worthy.